Right, Joe Angel, Fed Mantra, and Earl Weaver back at the ballpark here as we head to inning number three. Earl, I'd love to get your reaction out in the picnic area out there in left center field when all the ceremonies got underway, when they unveiled the Earl Weaver sculpture. What did you feel?
Well, you can't describe it. Of course, I didn't get a good look at it. You know, I'm sitting on the stage, and it's on the side. And when I came up for Frank's, they waited till the speech was over before they unveiled the statue. But it was kind of a surprise when they did it before I talked.
Well, back here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and we're visiting with Earl Weaver, the Earl of Baltimore, who had his statue unveiled earlier today and then had an on-field ceremony. It's a strike one. Kipnis at the plate, left-handed batter, and the left-hander Evelyn delivers it low. One ball and one strike. Earl, the emotion involved when you go out there, you see that 7-foot statue unveiled, then you come out and you're welcomed so warmly by the fans here at the ballpark. Just the emotion going on inside.
Well, really, I come back to Baltimore a lot, like I say in the speech. And when I get back here, it's just amazing how many people remember us in kind of, I hate to say worship, but my goodness gracious, too many accolades and everything else. It's, you know, I enjoy it and I love it, but why do they all remember all of that? I don't understand.
Now, Kipnis is hit by a pitch up and in from Dana Evelyn. He gets to his feet and then goes down to first base. I think one of the reasons why they remember it, because what those teams that you managed and what they brought to Baltimore was such certainly a sense of pride throughout the country that they knew that when the Orioles would come to town, managed by Earl Weaver, with Brooks Robinson in the lineup, Frank Robinson in the lineup, people here in Baltimore had their chest puffed out and said, hey, that's my ball club.
Well, we won 100 games 5 times, so, mm-hmm. You know, they had a right to do that.
I think you just answered the question.
Yep.
You won.
Yeah.
They loved you. You won.
Yeah.
And you made them proud.
And now here's the right-handed bat of Jose Lopez, an RBI single, a ball that hit the bag at third base in the first inning that plated the first of the two Cleveland runs. They're over to first base, and Kipnis gets back to the bag. Earl, talking to Eddie Murray about his situation when he came up as a youngster with the Orioles and how your insistence kept him with the ball club. Tell the fans about that.
Well, Eddie had only played 30-something games in AAA, and our general manager thought that he should go back. He should go back and get a little more experience. And the only thing is, he was leading in spring training. He was leading the team in hitting. He was leading the team in home runs, and it would kind of break his spirit if we sent him back when that was happening. And we kept putting it off, and he was still the same at the end of spring training, so they let me keep him. And it kind of turned out all right.
Now, kind of, huh?
Yeah, it kind of turned out all right.
Well, you sound like they let you keep your favorite toy.
Yeah, well, it was a manager, don't you think Eddie was? I mean, there's only two other guys accomplished what Eddie did.
Yeah,
that's
boy.
Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. How is that?
Here's a fastball upstairs at the plate, Jose Lopez.
You know, it's funny, though, Earl, because, I mean, these days, a lot of managers, they don't put a lot of stock in spring training numbers. Were you different in that regard?
Well, the one thing we had in we're going back, I guess, dinosaur age and everything. But you brought maybe 45 players to spring training. You didn't bring your whole organization down there. And you got to work with your players one-on-one. We had one field and one half a field. And we got a lot done. You were concentrating on your major league ball player, major league team right from the start, and getting a real good look at the 25 guys you wanted to bring back. We're having a little unfortunate luck here. Ball hits a third base bag. We hit two rockets that turn into double plays.
And then a stolen base on a 2-1 pitch. And here's a swing of the foul bag.
You can't walk anybody leading off an inning.
3 balls and 2 strikes to Lopez. Earl, you were not a warm and fuzzy manager. You kind of motivated your guys in many ways. How did you learn that managerial style?
I don't think I don't know. I was just myself. And the other thing, you know, the five guys that are going to get the statues. Mm-hmm. You say hello in spring training. You say goodbye at the end of the season. They need nothing. You know, you get out of their way, let them play baseball. Now, you got to remember, this is over 2 decades. But you do have guys on your team. Lowenstein, you know, John was not a good player till he got over here and had Renicki with him. And they were both great players then. Renicki, he could have played every day. But as long as we had Lowenstein, it turned out great. But that's baseball judgment.
Here's a swing and a miss by Lopez for the first out here with a runner at second base in the top of the third, visiting with Earl Weaver. And, Earl, you had that baseball judgment. Is that something that's inborn, something that we're coming through the ranks? And you pointed out all the stops you made along your career.
Well, here we go. My parents had me out at Sportsman Park in St. Louis when I was 4 and 5 years old. I watched Johnny Keene manage a team with Slaughter and Musial and Shandy's. That's the only other team in baseball that ever won 100 games 3 years in a row. And even at that time, I was second-guessing Johnny Keene. I was managing that club then, too. I was about 8, 9 years old.
There's a swing and a fly ball to center field off the bat of Michael Brantley for the second out of the inning. Still at second base is Kipnis, and, of course, visiting with Earl Weaver. And, Earl, today, just a special day for Oriole fans. And, of course, you've had many special days over your career, the induction into the Hall of Fame. You've had World Series victories. How do you rate where this sits in your remembrances of Orioles and Baltimore?
Well, right at the top. I can't say it's better than the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I can't say the Hall of Fame is better than this. But the Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame.
Here's a swing and a foul to the left side. And off the bat of Shelly Duncan, a strikeout victim, one of the four strikeout victims for Dana Evelyn, visiting with Earl Weaver. And certainly a special day here. Folks traveled from north, south, east, and west to spend part of this day with you. That had to be a special feeling as well.
Yes, it is. The family here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there again, Mr. Angelos, who deserves all the accolades in the world for me. And why the fans got down on him, because he's been trying to bring a ball club here for a long time. I think he's got what it takes now.
And point out what you, to the fans, what you feel he has brought in here to.
Well, Dan is going to get out there, and he's had some success.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck has had some success. So when they get together, and there's still some holes to fill out there. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. But when they get together and start bringing in the guys that are going to do some things, it's going to perk up.
Well, you look at this club now. How close do you feel it is for the good times to start?
Well, those batting averages are going to have to come up a little bit. They got some power. I like that.
Well, those three-run home runs you love.
And they should have 420-game winners like I had. You know, that helps.
That's unheard of today, huh? Unheard of even in your era,
yeah,
except for the Orioles.
Yeah.